you turning in your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. Welcome to church tonight at Grace Fellowship of Georgetown, and the Spirit of God's here. We're here, and we're believing for God to speak to us through His Word, right? If you're really wanting to connect to God in these end times, and you really want to experience all He has, you must learn to dwell in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. We're citizens of heaven once we're born again, but we must learn to dwell there. Change our addresses. And to do so, you must become somebody that's in love with the Word of God. Romans chapter 14, and I just want to go to verse number 17, and the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not a bunch of things that you eat and you drink and a bunch of rules and regulations, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God first is accessed through righteousness, having a new nature, right? It'll produce in you joy and peace. We're led by peace, we experience joy. And God wants to raise up a generation that's no longer walking around with their head hung down, going, woe is me, nothing goes right for me, but a joy-filled, peace-filled, end-time, glorious bride. Amen. And those that are learning how to function in the kingdom of heaven should be the happiest people on earth. Not just in the family, not just around, but on earth. And God's teaching is end time remnant church, those that really have a heart to move in, how to dwell in the kingdom. Now again, we've talked about it many times, but just to review, if I let this side of the pulpit over here be the individual where they dwell before they're born again, they live in the first heaven realm, right? Over here in the first heaven is sin, the sin nature. Over here is the curse. Here's man's ability, lack, witchcraft, everything over in this realm, right? Man's ability to build things. And God said, if I'm going to be able to fellowship with man, I've got to change who he is. I've got to get him a new nature so he's delivered from the curse, so he's delivered from, how can I say, the limitations of sin, and I can fellowship with him. So Jesus came to earth as a man and went to the cross. We'll let the pulpit represent the cross. And Jesus went to the cross to pay the price for our sin. Amen. To enable us to transition out of living in the world to living in another kingdom. Now on this side of the pulpit, we're going to call the kingdom of heaven. And over here, there's no lack, there's no pain, there's no sickness, there's no fear, there's no extreme grief. Over here is peace and joy. And what we've had over the past 2,000 years, for the most part, is people thought you could only get over in the kingdom of heaven once you died and left this earthly body. So what happened is they would be over here in the realm of lack, the realm of pain, the realm of limitation. And many would come to their, you know, to the end of their rope, so to say. And they say, I guess I'll try Jesus. I'll try God. And they'd have an encounter with God. They'd be born again. They'd come to the cross and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. But because they didn't know they could go beyond the cross, they went back to dwelling in the limitations of the world. Do you follow me? Because they've been taught by the preachers, you can only get over on this side of the pulpit, this side of the cross, once you die. Amen. So they go right back to living in limitation, right back to living in pain, right back to living in grief, right back to just hanging on, you know, to the last knot of the frayed rope, hoping to hang on to their salvation until they did die and could be promoted to heaven. We discovered the Word doesn't say that. We were never called just to hang on. We were called to overcome. To be more than conquerors, right? To put the devil under our feet. So God's raising up an end time generation. I called it the bride generation. That'll learn you to go beyond the cross. Now understand, the cross is the greatest event ever to hit the earth. Amen. The most valuable to us. But we were never meant to camp out at the cross. We were meant to go beyond in our understanding. And learn to dwell in the kingdom of heaven. See, if all we were supposed to do was go to the cross and get saved and go back to living in the world, we wouldn't need the rest of this New Testament other than to hang on. But the Scriptures tell us, the entire Bible tells us, there's another kingdom we can dwell in. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says we're already seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Scriptures tell us we're already citizens of heaven. We're kings and priests before God. And that through receiving revelation knowledge what's really available for us, it allows us then to go beyond just living in the natural realm. We've learned over here how to access divine healing, even live in divine health. Amen. We discovered you get over on this side of the cross, you never have to be sick another day of your life. Amen. We've learned how to build spiritual momentum. Amen. As in the physics of spiritual momentum. The book we have for sale in the back. We've learned how to live here above lack. We don't have to fear ever being broke another day of our lives. We've learned that our seed can produce 30, 60, 100-fold. Amen. And tithing opens the windows of heaven before us. We've learned over here we don't have to be in grief anymore, no more sorrow. We can walk in joy and peace, as Paul declared in Romans 14. But it requires learning what's available and learning how to step into it. Amen. We discovered to live over here, you've got to learn how this kingdom operates. I mean, the truth is, you spent all of your lives learning how to live in this realm, for the most part. And if you don't know how to live in this realm, if you've not learned how this realm operates, you won't live very long. You won't live long. Why? Well, you may try to swim, you know, walk out in the water that's over your head. You haven't learned how to swim yet. Oh, you mean I can drown? That's something that's important to know in this realm if you can't swim, right? How about this? Just step off the edge of a building. Oh, there's gravity? You'll discover that on the way down. See, whether we know it or not, we've learned how this kingdom operates. And if we don't know how it operates, we won't survive very long. You know, there's talk in the movies, and you hear people talking about how, you know, you wouldn't live very long on the streets. You were to go to the streets or go to the hood or whatever, you know, you wouldn't survive long. You don't know enough to survive there. There's some truth in that. Amen. And a lot of people, maybe from the streets, if they had to go to the farm and raise their own food, they wouldn't live very long. There's street knowledge, there's farm knowledge. Amen. And that knowledge base allows you to learn how to function in that arena. Amen. And based on where you grew up, based on what challenges were there before you, you learn how to function in different areas. How about living in a hot climate? In Ghana, they have a saying, go with water. Because they know it's hot over there and you need water. So they say, wherever you're going, take water with you. You don't want to be out of water because it can kill you. Amen. In cold climates, which it seems like it's been here lately, but if you don't know how to stay warm at the right times, that can take your life. So you learn how to function in the realm you're raised in. Amen. And if you don't know how to function there, you won't survive. Well, in the same fashion, once you come to the cross, to go beyond it into living in the kingdom, you've got to learn how this kingdom functions. What are the rules? What are the principles that govern the keys of the kingdom, that govern the operation of this realm? And of course, we've discovered many of them in here. We've talked about them, right? The power of seed. The principles of faith. Sowing and reaping, right? We discovered the power of our words. Those are spiritual principles. See, we discovered the word declares to us that death and life is in the power of the tongue. But you spend all your life over here speaking, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm dying to see you. And you get over here, you got to have to unlearn that. You have to change how you speak. And it's not enough just to know it exists. You got to train yourself to do it. Because I'm sure I do it myself. We probably all do to some level. But when I'm around people, even in here, and they start talking about being sick or being tired as just, not talking about they are sick, but just as an adjective that really not applying to themselves, I'll correct it. I say, we're not sick. You know, I was speaking to somebody, not to be named right now, over the past few days about different things, and they're talking about that's just a pain. I said, no, Jesus delivered us from pain. Yes, that's right. They'll say, hey, it's just a pain. No, we've been delivered from pain. So you don't want to activate principles and his kingdom that can work against you. You want to work them on your behalf. And whether you know it or not, words have power in the kingdom of heaven. So we learn this and we change how we function. And back about last June, I was up praying and I had an encounter with the Lord. And he said, those that are going to manifest the glory of God in these end times must become masters of operating in the kingdom of heaven. You become a master of it. You determine, I'm going to dwell in this kingdom and learn how it functions. Study it and apply myself to it. One of those we talk about studying the kingdom of heaven is studying the anointings. Is there a prophetic anointing in the church? Is there a healing anointing? Is there a peace anointing? How about joy where you just feel like laughing at everything? In fact, Rodney Howard Brown, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown is going to be in Paris here, in a few weeks. And it carries that anointing of joy. I've been in these meetings. And people just fall, whole crowds will fall out laughing uncontrollably. In fact, I've got testimonies about that. Amen. I can tell you later. And people pinned to the floor can't move because they're laughing so hard. Joy anointing. And to become a master in this realm, you learn to study what's in the air. Is God in the air? Is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the air? Is there a devil trying to control the atmosphere around me? Am I feeling agitated? Am I feeling depressed? Am I feeling fearful? Whatever. See, the enemy wants to dominate the air around you. You become a master of studying the atmosphere around you and in knowing how to change it. Primarily through praise and worship and what you speak. Amen. And what you change. We learn how to be masters over in this room. How about becoming a master of hearing God? The average Christian doesn't know the voice of God. They think anything that pops in their head that sounds godly must be the voice of God. But Satan's a master at counterfeiting the voice of God. He'll tell you five truths in a row to get you to fall for one lie. We don't hear God in our head. We can, but that's not the primary place you hear God. You hear God down in your spirit. Down in your belly you hear God, and there's a peace that comes with it. You know, this is God speaking to me. Amen. You're not on edge when you hear it. And you must become adept at hearing the voice of God, and you practice hearing it, even in the small things. Amen. Should I drink that Pepsi or not, or should I drink a water? You listen. And of course, he'll probably tell you drink the Coke or the RC Cola. He told me to drink RC Cola. We must learn these principles of the kingdom. We must learn how to study the kingdom and become expert in it. One of the things I want to develop in is not just hearing the voice of God or sensing it, but using all of my spiritual senses to pick up in what God's doing or what he wants to release to me. Amen. And so the Lord said, those that are going to manifest the glory, they endeavor to become masters in this kingdom. And they determine to live there. You're determined to live in this realm. Amen. Anybody in here determined to live in that realm? I've had enough of living in the world system. And I don't want to die to have to go to experience heaven. I want it now. I want thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth now in my midst as it is in heaven. We have a right to pray that and believe for it. Use our faith for it. Amen. And so, as the Lord gave me that word here back in June, he took me to Psalm 119. And as I read through Psalm 119, I realized that is a book of a person hungry to live hand in hand with God. Hand in hand and dwelling in the power of the Word. Turning their life over to trusting it to the Word. You know, the Bible says, with long life and peace will I satisfy you. I don't worry about dying young, and I'm still middle-aged, right? I'm not halfway to 130. I'm middle-aged. I'm not a senior citizen. I'm not in my latter years. I'm just getting started with no intention of retiring. Amen. And I expect to live a long, long time. Why? Because I got a lot I want to do for God while I'm on earth. And once we leave the earth, it's too late to do some of the things we have opportunity to do now. Amen. So this is a proving time, and I want to max it out. But as well, we have a right to live where no plague nor calamity comes near our dwelling. We don't have to live sick. We don't have to live in pain in any fashion. We have a right to that in the kingdom, and I want to access that. And I know that's all promised in the Word of God. And I also know the Word says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Amen. You guys know the rest of that verse? No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. See, there's a caveat. There's a necessity. If you want to be somebody that no weapon's formed against, you got to condemn the condemning tongues. When the devil says, I'm going to put you in pain, and you start to feel it, you got to say, no, this doesn't belong to me. You got to condemn that. I'm going to strip you of your finances. No, he supplies all my need. You have to condemn that. In fact, you battle the condemning tongues with the Word. Because the Word is the sword of the Spirit, and it's the only thing that has the ability to shut down the condemning voices in your life. Amen. But we have a right to live where no weapon formed against us prospers. The enemy can't hurt a hair on our head or our families. Amen. Or our possessions. We have a right to that. Amen. But you must learn how the kingdom functions and apply yourself to it. You must fall in love with the Word and the provisions of the Word of God. And so we've been reading through Psalm 119, and I'm going to go there again tonight. And my desire is, as we go through this and I read through these passages, that I somehow, by the power of the Holy Spirit, capture the heart of David as he's writing these. And I want to capture it in a fashion that I want to speak it. It's passed on to you. You see David's heart. You see the heart of the man who God said is a man after mine own heart. That you want that same heart in you. Amen. Because I've read Psalm 119, I don't know how many times. Time and time again over the past 35 years. But I've never read it like I have this year in the past several months. It's become a whole different psalm to me. Because I saw above, I saw beyond just the, how can I say, specifics of the verses. I saw the heart's intent behind it. And it makes it read totally differently. So you ready for this? We're going to pick it up. Let me find out where I'm at, where I want to go. Psalm 119. And I just want to go to, I'm going to start at verse number 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Do you believe that? See, right away, David's saying, your word is established. It's immovable. How many know Jesus is the Word made flesh? And he's the rock, the immovable rock, right? And so the word is set, and to be a revivalist, you've got to settle it within you. The word is the last word. The word of God is the last word in any situation. Now, how many believe that's obvious, should be obvious to us? But we can say it's obvious, but then we're hit with a challenge. We throw out the revelation. Amen. Now, all of a sudden, the bank is the last word. Or the doctor is the last word. Amen. Or how you feel becomes the last word. Or what they said to you becomes the last word. You got to determine, starting off as a revivalist, you're going to go beyond the cross, you're going to go into the kingdom, the word is settled. See, I came to that conclusion mentally, you know, in my mind, decades ago. The word is it. This is God's word. It's settled. It is finished. Amen. But then when challenges arise, we start to question whether the word will work in our lives or whether we're ready or we've done enough things to receive the promises of the Word of God. Well, everything starts with knowing the Word has your solution. I believe every challenge you'll ever meet, your solution is in the Word of God. That should be the last place we go. Amen. So when Scripture says, unless the Lord build the house, the church, or us individually, they that build labor in vain. So if God's building the church, He's going to build it by and in alignment with and through the Word of God. He's going to build it through the preaching of the Word of God and through the application of the Word of God. In fact, for God to truly build the church, He can only build churches that determine to become Word churches. Otherwise, it's a man-made church. Otherwise, men are trying to do it themselves and follow some nice biblical platitudes, but not build it by the Word. And if you build by the Word, you build it by the power of seed. You build it by the power of your confession. You build it by standing on the rock of revelation of the Word. Verse 90. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Oh, stop right there. See, we have right here. We tend to read over those verses, you know, your word's settled, you're faithful, you know, and we gloss over it, not realizing those two become the two foundation building blocks for living by faith. Amen. Your word is settled, and you're faithful to all in all generations. In other words, God is no respecter of persons. And those that will apply themselves to the principles of the kingdom of heaven will get heaven results. Why? Because the word is settled. Do you see what I'm getting at here? Here's the two building blocks of faith. The word is your answer to everything, and if we'll believe it, God's faithful to everybody. He says, thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. I don't know how far we're going to get tonight, because I enjoy this so much. You establish the earth and it abideth. Hold this spot. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll go to Hebrews chapter 1. We'll start there. Talking about Jesus, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, the word of His dunamis, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus, who is the Word, is upholding all things by the Word. Chapter 11, again verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not things of things which do appear. The heavens were framed by faith, and the seen was made out of the unseen. That's how faith works. So when we go back to Psalm 119 and verse 90, He says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. This is really what the writer Hebrews was referring to. The same faith you used to establish the heavens is available us today. And David understood, your word is settled, it abideth. Amen. We have a more sure covenant with better promises. Oh, glory to God. Verse 91. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. What continues this day? What's he talking about? It continues. All of creation, the earth, the planets, the universe, stuff that David had no way of knowing. You understand that Copernicus and Kepler and Galileo all came over 1,000 years after David? Amen. Nearly 2,000 years after David, those guys discovered the mathematical operations of the universe, physics of the universe. David had no way of knowing that. But he could look out and see the stars and say, God, you made it. And it stays functioning today like it always has. But here's the point David was making. He was saying, the faith you use to put all this in place is still operational today. And I have access to use that same faith in your word that's faithful to all generations. And if it's established that it lasts throughout all generations, it lasts even to today, it'll work for me right now. See, David's talking about living by the word, depending upon the word of God as his foundation of life. Verse 92, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. He's saying, unless I trusted in your word, I'd be dead now. I don't know about you, but I believe I could probably say the same thing. I could be dead now, I could be divorced now, I could be broke now. Very likely dead now without the word. Your word is my delight. I don't read the word because I have to. I read the word because it's my delight. I love the word of God. It's God speaking directly to me and into me. It's my strength. It's my foundation. It's my platform for every decision I make. It's the word of God. Amen. It's settled in the heavens. And he says here, unless I had depended upon your word, I would have perished by now. Which is also saying, if I want to live in the future, I better remain dependent upon your word. If I wasn't dependent upon the word of God, I wouldn't be in revival now. Amen. If I wouldn't depend on the word of God, I'd have had things collapse in many areas of my life by now. But instead, when things look like they're collapsing, I go to the Word, and then the Word upholds them. Oh, praise be to God for His Word. Is it your delight? See, to become a master of functioning in His kingdom, you must make the Word your delight. Don't say, I don't get anything out of the Word. What a ridiculous statement. Let's see. Jesus was the Word made flesh. Is that scriptural? Do you believe the Word? He was the Word made flesh. We are made in God's image. In fact, Jesus came to earth as a man. We understand if you're born again, you were once again made in the image of God, in the image of Christ, and you become internally, how can I say, your image becomes the Word. You become a new creation, born again by the Word, conceived by the Word. Scripture becomes your spiritual DNA. Amen. And so, Word is designed to fuel you internally. It's your fuel. I don't know where this is going to fit in, but I'm going to say it just because it's come back to me twice. This morning, I made breakfast at the house. Corned beef hash. And scrambled eggs. And we tried to give a piece of the egg to the dog, and she kind of stuck her nose up in it because I had corned beef hash. Otherwise, she'd been all the eggs. She finally ate it. And I got to thinking about how what's in an egg inside that shell becomes meat. And when that egg hatches, it's meat. It was just a little, you know, yolk with some white around it. But something happens, that cell grows. I guess an egg is a single cell, isn't it? That cell grows and becomes a baby chicken. It turns into meat. What an amazing miracle just right there. Amen. 21 days, right? Incubation time, egg to chick. And in the same way, that word incubates within you and becomes spiritual meat. It fuels you. We don't know how it works, but don't say I don't get anything out of it. Say, the word fuels me. It's my delight. I receive from the word. I've told this story before. I heard it, I think, on James Dobson decades ago about this young boy was out working with his father, and they were digging potatoes and filling the potatoes in these, you know, peach baskets or with bushel baskets. And of course, the potatoes are dirty. The baskets are all dirty. And the son says, "You know, Dad, we go to church all the time, and I just don't get anything out of the Bible. Have you heard this story? I don't get anything out of the Bible." So the father tells the son, "Well, I'll tell you what to do. Take that basket right there. It was empty. Potatoes had been emptied out of it. Take that basket down there and go to the streamer and bring me back a basket of water." And of course, the son thinks it's a silly request, so he goes down and scoops up a basket of water. And by the time he gets back, it's all run out. And his dad said, "It ran out. I don't have any water." He says, "Go do it again." So he gets another basket, runs. He tries to run faster. By the time he gets it, it's all run out. And after doing this three or four times, you know, the son says, "Dad, it's impossible. I'm not be able to hold any water in this basket whatsoever." And the father says, "Well, what's changed about the basket?" He goes, "It's clean." You may not feel like you're getting anything out of the Word, but there's a cleansing process going on by the Word within you. Amen. A strengthening process. And you got to say, "I always receive from the Word. I will come to visions and revelations out of the Scriptures. I'm going to understand this, and it's going to make sense to me, and I'm going to piece it all together, and I'm going to understand the full image God wants me to receive out of it." Get your tongue in alignment with God's plan versus work against it. How can you dwell over here if you think you don't get anything out of the Word? "Well, I can't read." Then put on some CDs. Put on your, you know, something out of social media. Play sermons out of it. You know, right now, I don't know how many programs I have on my iPad that I can just plug in and say, "Read me this passage." Click on it. It'll just read to me the Bible. There's no excuse in today's society to not be able to receive of the Word of God. Amen? But you've got to make it your delight. You've got to love it more than a football or a basketball game. More than a shopping sale. Amen? More than your favorite movie or whatever. You've got to love it. Not that you can't do those things, but you've got to love the Word more. What I'm getting at, they have this new thing now they're putting on Facebook posts, and it'll put a picture of four different foods. If you had to give up one of these for life, which would you give up? And it'll have, like, you know, steak and chicken and roast beef and, you know, whatever. What do you want to give up? And people have to choose what they want to give up. Well, I would post, if you had to give up one of these, if you had to give up all of these but one, which would you keep? Football, movies, shopping, or the Word of God? You got to be willing to choose. I'd give those all up for the Word. Not that you have to. Do you follow me? But you got to love the Word so much, it's the driving desire of your life. Because you can't live by what you don't know. And you can't live supernatural without the Word of God in you, moving through you, right? Verse 93, "I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened or made me alive." Thou hast quickened me. You've energized me. You've given me life. "I will never forget thy precepts." Precepts represent the principles. How does the kingdom of God function? I'm not going to forget them. Now, it's funny, what you don't practice or what you don't expose yourself to, you forget. At least if you're a normal person. I know there are people out there with the photographic memories, never forget certain details. I'm not one of them. Amen? But I'm trying to think of some good examples here. In sixth grade, we learned a lot of history. In what year did Champlain explore Canada? Anybody know? What century? We may get that. Do you follow me? Did he even explore Canada? I just guessed at that. I don't even know. But I do remember the name from sixth grade history. But people that study history could tell you where he explored, what years he was doing, you know, certain things, where Lake Champlain is. I don't even know where Lake Champlain is. But somebody that stays exposed to that can rattle off to you all the specifics. My mother years ago got it really deep into genealogy before it was all on computers. And she was writing all around the world for information on her relatives going way, way back. And she'd call me and recite all these things about my different great-great uncles and great-great-great grandfathers and all the, and I like, okay, that's really interesting. And she drives around, show us these different places where some of them lived and where one of them got killed and all these things. And really, really interesting to hear. But you know, I couldn't name one of them now. Amen. John Perk. Yeah. We named John Perk. He got killed. He drowned. Yeah. Amen. One of my great, great grandfathers. 1608. Amen. I'd have got the century wrong. Did he explore Canada? Okay. Ha, yes. I remember something from sixth grade. And she told me all these things and we saw it, but I forgot all of it. But my sister took it up. And now it's all on computer. They're the ancestry.coms and tree, whatever, family tree makers. That stuff's out there like crazy now. So she posted today a newspaper clipping from 1879 about the community in Tennessee I grew up in. And it was naming all these different businesses that were in this little community. Now it's nothing there. I mean, it's dead. But they had a surgeon, a doctor, building a school, a store, a saloon, barbershop, a whole big community, thriving community. It's dead now. And people were going on there talking about how such and such named in the article was their great-great-grandfather and all that. He fought in the Civil War, all these details. And so my sister's doing all this now. She's telling me all the stuff my mother told me years ago. And she's doing it all the time. She can just snap it off like, I still don't remember. Well, I don't desire to know it enough, spend enough time on it, that it becomes established within me. I'd rather spend the time in the Word that it becomes established within me. It's funny, I also learned in fourth grade, I think it was, these things called fractions. How many enjoyed fractions in school? I didn't enjoy them in elementary school. I didn't like anything. I never liked the school, period. But fractions I continued doing. And now all those things we took on tests on fractions in fourth grade, I can do in my head quickly now because I worked with them enough. You know, you use it a lot, you become adept at it. And the same thing is true with the Word of God. What you don't use, you'll forget. So if you want to be someone that I don't forget thy precepts, it's only because you keep putting your face in the book to see them again. Scripture says we should be careful that we don't let anything slip that we've learned. Right? Which means you better keep your face in the book, keep your face in the Word to refresh your memory of these things. I'm impressed with the Rick Renners that can memorize the entire Bible or the New Testament. He memorized the entire New Testament in 1 month, including punctuation. That's a miracle mind right there. Amen? So when he preaches, he doesn't have to open the Bible. He opens it just for the sake of appearance, but he can quote every verse in the Bible, chapter and verse. That's impressive. Amen? But most of us can't do that and need to keep our face in the book. And even if you could, you'd need to keep your face in the book because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, not by having memorized. Amen. So if you really want to become a person adept at living in the kingdom, you must become a person that's sold out to the Word of God. You're after the revelation of the Word. Verse 95. The wicked have waited to destroy me. For I sought thy precepts. I'm sorry. I read the wrong verse, didn't I? Let me back up to verse 94. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. Sought the principles. Are you seeking out how the kingdom functions? Or are you just wanting to get by? I mean, it's really a pivotal question we must ask ourselves all the time. You shouldn't need a preacher to threaten you with it or, you know, say, you should be asking yourself, am I just going through the motions or do I really want the kingdom? Am I sold out to God or am I just don't want to be left behind in revival? Do you understand the difference? A lot of people just want to go to the revivalist church because they don't want to be left behind, but they're not willing to do the work to keep up. And there's a big difference. God's looking for people that'll apply themselves. Amen. That really want it. How much do we want it? Again, I'm not trying to make this hard. I'm trying to make you aware of what it takes to live in that glory realm. You got to want it. You know, if you're like me and like the average person, if you were to do a review of your life, there's some things you have regrets about. Anybody have any things they regret? Amen. Not talking about who you married. I'm talking about, no. We all have some regrets, right? And I have one. I have many, but one in particular. I really wish I had applied myself in school. Not that it would have changed my future, because I believe God has ordained for me, you follow me? But I wish I'd applied myself because of the knowledge I could have gained. There are things that I had to learn to pass tests, but I have to remember how to do it. I just had to memorize my way to pass the test. Like that entire year of phonics. Amen. I still don't know what an accent mark represents. Of course, I think I explained my problem with that once before in here, didn't I? I moved to Alabama from Kansas when I was in third grade. I went to three different schools in third grade. Not 3 years in third grade, three different schools that year of third grade. And moved to Alabama. They started teaching accent marks and accents. And I couldn't get it. And it was for a long time I realized, because they pronounced the words totally different than I did. I'm from Canada. They made fun of my speech. And I'm trying to say a word. They'd say this word, cornbread. And we'd have the accent on the totally wrong part of it, whatever word, you follow me? Because I spoke differently. So I never did catch that one. But I wish I'd applied myself all the way through school. I could have learned a language. Amen. Never took a language course. Tried to twice, and both times got canceled. Music. Could learn music. I wish I'd have spent some time learning music. It'd be valuable to me today. Maybe I could sing. Well, I guess it would take a miracle there, but I still would have liked to have learned an instrument. But I was so averse to school, I hated it. I did the very minimum I could for many years just to get through until I got into high school. Then I took harder courses, but still wasn't looking to extend at college. Anyway, moving on. I wish I'd have applied myself. That's a regret I have. But now that I'm born again, and God's put this opportunity to know His Word in my hand, I am not going to slack off on that to the best of my ability. Here's the greatest educational opportunity God ever gave us, to know Him and to know His Word and to live in His kingdom. Are we going to take it lightly? This is not learning fractions in the fourth grade. This is life itself. This is eternity. So I don't try to make it hard, but I do try to emphasize the value of this. Amen. I've been sick and I've been healed. Heals better. You know, until I learned divine health, I was sick as much as anybody. Flu every year, you know, for the most part. Colds a couple times a year. To the doctor, you know, not infrequently for different this and that. And when I learned about divine healing, divine health, I applied myself to it. Wrote down the scriptures, took the cards, confessed them, memorized them, confessed them more, spoke them over my life. Battle symptoms. You heard about, you know, fighting migraines and everything else. And battling the flu and just everything I had. And go for now. What did I go for? 92, 26 years, never had the flu. It was worth it. Because I got a taste of the flu a couple years ago. It wasn't fun. I forgot how nasty that thing is. And so I said, God, I'm not going there again. I let my guard down, and it wasn't worth it. What I'm getting at is if you become a student of the kingdom of heaven, you can live above the curse. Amen. And not have to worry lack ever again in your life. Amen. I feel I've been delivered from fear of lack. And anything that residue of it, I want squeezed out of my life by the Word of God, by faith in the Word. Verse 95. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider the testimonies. You're hated just because you believe the Word. I mean, our political operations right now, one whole party hates Christianity, hates the Word of God, actually hates America from the appearance of things. Amen? And so, they hate you, but as they hate you, we just hold to the Word. We hold to the testimonies. And we hold to things such as, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay. I don't walk around and say, okay, God, get him. You said you'd repay. I just turn it over to God and say, I'm not going to worry about it. I cast my care upon you. You care for me. If they want to hate me, that's fine. I'm gonna trust in your testimonies. I'll trust in you to protect me. I'll trust in your provision, your joy, your peace. They're going to hate you regardless. Stay with the Word. Don't let it pull you off of it. The enemy wants to pull you off the Word. And he knows your tendencies in life that can get you off the Word. Here's one. They disrespected me. They dissed me. So because somebody dissed you, now all of a sudden you can go off and be, you know, some berserk nut because somebody disrespected you. What happened? You let go of their Word. Amen. Well, they did me wrong. Well, welcome to the club. I've had at least 6 people steal thousands of dollars from me. I think at least 6 now steal thousands of dollars from Patty and I. And all of them Christians. Every single one. And I trust them because they were Christians. Confessing Christians, acting Christians. Until came to, what do I do? God, there you go. There's another one. Not going to steal my sleep. I trust in you. I trust in your Word. You let it go. Amen? Keep your eyes on the prize. I'll tell you what. Again, I'm reading this book, Imagine Heaven. I've been talking about it lately. And when people get to heaven, those that have had near-death experiences, they get to heaven, they could care less about what's going on earth. There may be concern initially about their family. You know, Jesus, hey, you need to go back or whatever. There'll be some concern about being there. But once they're in heaven, you don't think about earth. There is so much peace and joy and strength and everything you've never had is in heaven. And all the people that wronged you, it doesn't mean a thing. How many are like me? Patty and I have these debates. She'll say something, I'll say, no, it wasn't like that. It wasn't that day, it was this day. No, it wasn't, it was this day. She'll say, you blithering idiot. No, she didn't say that. We'll get to debating, and we'll say, when we get to heaven, you'll see who was right. We're going to watch the films. Anybody said that we get to heaven, nobody's ever said we get to heaven, we're going to watch the tapes. Oh, Pat didn't talk about watching the tapes. We get to heaven all the time. You'll see who's right. You did say that. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. It's on tape. God's got it on tape. MP3 player, whatever he's got up in heaven. It's in the books. You get to heaven, you could care less who was wrong on earth or who was right. It just doesn't matter anymore. So why be concerned about who took advantage of you, who disrespected you, you know, who said what to you? Just let it go. It's not going to matter in heaven. Why should it matter now? Because we're on our way there anyway, right? Verse number 96. I have seen an end of all perfection, but that commandment is exceeding broad. That's kind of an interesting verse. I was meditating on a verse just a little bit. I've seen an end of all perfection. And what I'm getting out of it, at least what I'm going to teach out of it, is David realized no one was perfect. He came to an end of his ability, or his thinking he could ever live perfect. Have you come to that end? All of sin and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. You realize you cannot live perfect. You're not going to do it perfect. There's an end of all perfection. You're going to come to your end when you try to live perfect. We target it, but we don't beat ourselves up when we fall short of it. And the commandment of God, the Word of God, is exceeding broad, giving us, how can I say, forgiveness when we don't measure up to perfection. When you cleave to the Word of God, you're still going to make mistakes. But the Word is so broad, it's got it covered. You're not going to come up short, you're not going to come up lacking, and you don't have to live perfect to receive the promises. How many times do you say, well, God, I believe in healing, but then the devil says, you know, you didn't live perfect. You didn't do it perfect. Well, God, I need money. Well, you haven't sowed perfect. Remember back in 2003, you missed a tithe. You didn't do it perfect. The enemy's an expert at telling you where you've made an error. You're not going to match perfection. But the Word is exceeding broad. Amen. And the rock is exceeding strong to uphold you even despite your lack of perfection. So our receiving of the promise is not based on our perfection. It's based on our faith. In the Word being exceeding broad. It's based on us believing God loves you with an everlasting love. And it's not based on you doing everything just right. It's based on you speaking the right words, even if you mess up on a few syllables, and trusting in God's Word to supply for you. Faith never fails. And the Word's exceeding broad to uphold you despite times you feel like you're sinking. Just keep your face turned toward God and turned toward the Word. The place you start sinking, how many want to know when you start sinking? The place you start sinking is when your tongue starts confessing you're sinking. Again, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. It didn't work for me. Nothing goes right for me. I'm having a bad day. I'm having the worst day ever. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. I just can't take anymore. What happened? You're drilling holes in the bottom of your boat. You're putting a jackhammer on the rock you're standing on. That's the right wording. You're neutralizing your seed. You're shutting down the ability of God's kingdom to produce for you. Because again, your tongue becomes the rudder of your ship of life. And what the enemy wants to do is keep pounding into your head how it's not going to work. It never works for you. It's not worked in the past. Versus remind yourself of God's testimonies. How he's always upheld you. See, I would be dead now if not for standing on the Word. Trusting in the Word. Well, if he sustained me then, he'll sustain me through this challenge as well. You will always have challenges. But you don't have to be moved by them. Can I give you some testimony? I hope it helps somebody. When I first got a hold of faith, got a hold of revival, I hated Christianity. I didn't hate being a Christian. I just hated it was so hard. I felt like every devil in hell was coming at me. You'll never, you can't, you'll never, you can't. People speaking against me and making fun of me and feeling inept and unable and nothing working. And I felt like I was being overwhelmed, and then fights coming from different directions. I won't say from where, but fights coming and just, oh, and God, I just don't know if it's worth it. It's so hard. And not that it was hard, but just the attacks. Boom, boom, boom. And then finally we get a breakthrough. We, oh, Oh, praise God. That was the worst attack I ever came through, but I made it. Praise God, I survived that attack. And you catch your breath for about 30 minutes. Here come another one. Bigger than the one before. Another tidal wave overtaking. Oh, this is bigger than last time. Oh, God, I hope I can hold on. And you got where you became battle weary. I don't know if I can take another battle. I just thought it wouldn't be, I didn't know it would be this hard. And it would be. Listen, I remember living like that for several years. We would talk about it in our groups. About how just, you know, is this ever going to let up? We talked to Pastor Callan about it. Is this ever going to let up? Do we ever get any breakthrough of this? Do we ever get beyond these attacks? And, of course, he was going through them too. But what we discovered is the attacks never stop. But your reliance upon the Word becomes so strong and established, you laugh at the attacks. It's like, okay, here's another one. No big deal. I've been through this before. And you get where you're not weary, you're joy-filled. You get to a place where you thrive in this realm of overcoming the enemy. And you know because you've won so many times before, you're going to win this time. It doesn't move you anymore. And it becomes fun. Not that we like attacks, but it doesn't move us. We're off of our joy. Amen. So the instruction I give, got to give it again the other day. Somebody was having a moment, you know, where their head was being attacked. And I said, just laugh. In fact, I've given that instruction maybe 3 times this week to people. Time to laugh. And then the other day, I had my motorcycle fixed. And I was going to take off on a long ride that day to get it broke in. And I made it 4 miles. And it started clunking. I stopped it immediately. I said, I know something's wrong. Had an idea what it was. And called Wayne. I said, we got a problem. He said, load up, bring it to me. I think, load it up. I just got it off the trailer. Load it up, bring it back. Bring it back. So I load it up. And I'm thinking, the devil's saying, you know, your motor blew up. It's going to be $10,000 for a new motor for that bike, which is probably what it would cost. It's going to, you know, everything's shot in it. And I heard myself telling people, time to laugh. So I just stopped and started laughing. Took it to Wayne. We found it was one nut that loosened up. Tightened the nut back up, reset it, good to go. Ha, ha, ha. Devil, you lose again. The attacks no longer eat our lunch. They can't bully us anymore. Because we've learned how to take the Word of God into the battle. Let the Word do the battle. It's not on me anymore to fight. It's on the Word to fight. I just speak the Word and let the Word do the battling. How about you? And you don't have the down days anymore. I don't have down days. I haven't said the word down day or a bad day in years. I refuse to let those words out of my mouth. It can be a day that everything seems like it's gone wrong. I'm not having a bad day. Maybe a challenging day. Maybe a day I've got to speak the word and do some laughing, but it's not a bad day. Because I've been redeemed from the curse. I don't have bad days. Do you follow me? And so here we go. Your word is able to sustain me no matter what I go through. You get that attitude. And those that have that mindset, I believe the word is established forever. And you're faithful all generations, and I'm part of that generation. Your precepts have upheld me in the past, they'll uphold me again. You live in that realm, dependency upon the word. Can you guys make that transition? You probably already have, haven't you? Can you make the transition to really entrust your life over to the Word of God? That becomes the key aspect of living in the kingdom. Well, listen, we're out of time for tonight. I hope it's blessed you. And I hope you felt the heart of David and the heart of God in his teaching tonight. God's looking for revivalists who are sold out the whole route without a doubt. Amen. I thank in his church there are none sick, none in lack, none oppressed, none in fear, none in strife, none in unforgiveness, none rejecting the voice of God speaking into their life, but everyone in love with the Word and in love with the moving of the Spirit. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything,